And we're really blessed to have our guest speaker, Pastor Robert Lee. He's a senior pastor of Acts Fellowship in Toronto, Canada. And I first met Rob because when I was going to Fuller, I had one of my professors talked about prayer. And he talked about this word called intercessors. And I had never heard of this before. You know, and you know, I didn't grow up in church or nor charismatic or any of these things. And it really intrigued me what he was saying. And so I started basically recruiting people. And there were a few ladies that I recruited, and they happened to be in Rob's small group. And they told me about this guy, and he's got a really powerful prophetic gift. You know, and I was like, really? I didn't know those guys were alive today. You know, I thought that they all died in the Old Testament, you know, kind of thing. And but he said that, you know, this person has a really powerful prophetic gift, and that if you actually come to his house church, his small group, that they'll pray for you and they'll prophesy over you. You know, and I thought, really? Wow, that's fantastic. And so I remember driving. It was like, you live far, man, you know. Yeah, I live far, right? You know, I went all the way from Newport Beach all the way to, where are you, in La Cañada or La Crescenta? Right, it's like a two-hour drive, and I would trek out there, and I would sit, and he would teach on the prophetic and hearing God's voice, and it was just so very natural, you know. And then I remember, you know, he prayed for me, and I think shortly after that, I asked him if he could mentor me in hearing God's voice, and he was very gracious to do that, and I mean, real blessing. And one thing that I really appreciate about Rob, and you know, and I think over the years, I've been around a lot of prophetic people. You know, and I mean, just really incredible gifting, and you know, I mean, guys that read your mail and these kind of things. And even with that, and Rob is able to do that kind of stuff too, but I think the thing that I really appreciate about Rob is he has a real heart to minister. You know, with some prophetic people, it's about getting the word, right? It's about being accurate, and that's really all they care about, right? Is it was am I accurate? You know, am I hearing from God? You know, but I think in ministry, it has to go beyond that. Right, and it's not so much where you're accurate. I think the better question to ask when you receive ministry is, did I feel loved? You know, because even if you're inaccurate, a little off, if you feel loved, I think that's Jesus. You know, and what Rob brings, you know, to the table is not only an incredible prophetic gift, but a real heart of love. And when Rob prays for you, you know, I mean, it is very accurate. I mean, let's just be real, right? You know, but apart from that, is you just feel incredibly loved, and you feel like Jesus is standing before you, speaking words of truth to you, you know. And if you agree with that, let's give a big clap to Pastor Rob as he comes up.
I hope that wasn't too much.
Well, I just need Rob to get up here and do something amazing now, right? God, I thank you a lot. This is all about you. Your heart for us. Your heart for this community. Your passion for this city. And as we take a few minutes today, oh God, come and speak to each one of us. Because it's not about what I got to say. It's about what you want to impart to each person here. And I thank you that you're so willing to do that. So take some little piece out of all this stuff and make it life-changing for each person here. Thank you, God. Amen. I have been fortunate to be here. This is my fourth time in Hong Kong. And most of you know my heart and my passionate interest is to share about hearing God, knowing God better. That I love the prophetic, and most of it is personal kinds of things. And I don't do the, you know, here's the big, you know, year. I don't think I've ever done a year-end sermon to go, here's what God is doing in the next year, because I just got no clue. I just want to be close to God while he's doing it. And then our brother Sean here is just, you know, he's talking about all these things that are going on. I'm just going, yeah, that's like really good and really exciting. And so, although I got to tell you, my way is way different than his way. You probably figured that out now. And I will never, ever forget the grandma, moo-moo, moonwalk. You know, whatever that thing was. Come on, guys. Was that like the most amazing thing you have ever seen in your life? My sides were hurting. He was on to some other point. I didn't even hear the next 11 things you said. I was still laughing with this picture of this grandma Moo moonwalk. It was amazing. So you get none of that today. I just want you to know that. I can't do that. You wouldn't want to see it. And Lord knows I don't want it recorded on the internet somewhere. It'll be viral YouTube. Look at this guy. But what I do want to talk for just a little bit about is, I heard I can't remember where, but I'm pretty sure it was Jim Gall. I heard a word about 2011 being the end of a transition time and 2012 now coming into an entirely new season for the church. And because this church is right now in the middle of a significant transition, I want to talk for just a minute about transitions. The old season began in the real late 1950s or early 1960s and essentially ended in 2007. And 2007 to 2011 have been a four-year transition. Anybody notice the last 4 years have been a little bit challenging? Last night, Sean goes, 2011, you don't want to hear about my 2011. It was tough. And that's the common theme, because transitions are hard. You guys worked your tails off just getting this building ready for this conference. Transitions are difficult. They all looked real cute up here today. Transitions with little babies are not cute most of the time. It's like 3 a.m. and you can't sleep and they're just going on and on. Transitions are hard. And so we've been in this transition time, and it's been difficult. But the last season compared to this is, can we just go down memory lane? I'm glad to see like a couple of people with gray hair here. So I'm not just talking about my own experience. Thank you guys for coming. I don't know who you are. I don't know why you're here, but I'm really glad. So the three of us can laugh. The three of us can enjoy the early stuff. When this last season came in, the world was basically communism versus capitalism. When I was growing up in school, I remember in the second grade, we lived in a city called Redlands, California. Just close by was a city called San Bernardino. They had a major military Air Force base. You know what they taught us in second grade? The big scare was that the Soviet Empire is going to fire nuclear missiles. So what do they do with how old are you in grade two? Like 7 years old. Let's say seven. 7 years old, and they say, okay, in the event of a nuclear attack, you get out and get underneath your table. Oh, give me a break. Like, that's going to save me from something. They just nuked this entire, military Air Force base that's like 10 miles away, and I'm under the desk going, okay, I'm safe. It's going to be all right. That's the environment we lived in. We were closer to nuclear war in 1959 than the world's ever been. But now we live in a world that's entirely complex. There's fractures all over the place. There's a man in Ottawa I met who'd come through Toronto, and he said, if Egypt changes for democracy, the entire Middle East will change. And we've got all these fragments of things that are much more broken up. It's not so simple anymore. We're not even sure who's on whose side as we come to the end of this last season. The worldviews change. When this began, this season began, prosperity and world peace and moving ahead and man on the moon, and it was very optimistic. It was a good time to be alive. At the end of this season that we just completed, it's crass commercialism. Spend as much as you can. Debt be hanged. We don't mind. What's a trillion between friends? I don't even concept a trillion. I don't even really get much of a concept of 1,000 most of the time, but a trillion, that's like, but it's no big deal. Much different than when this season started. Communication. I grew up in black and white. God, that makes me sound old. It was the coolest thing when you had this ugly, kind of grainy little three-color TV set. But all these things came in like television, telephone. They used to really have to dial the whole thing. Lived there. Bless me, you've nodded on every one of them. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. Airline travel was really new. And what we feel like is horrible in economy now would be like ultra first class when they first started doing this stuff. Religion was very different. Religion was basically set like North America and Western Europe is Christian, and Asia is Buddhist, and Middle East is, Islam, and India is Hindu. It was like everybody was categorically separated. Not now. It's all mushed together. In Toronto, where I live, they tell me that there's 162 different spoken languages in the greater Toronto area. There's one street that's not far from where I live. You can drive up, for those of you who might happen to know it, on Bayview. If you go a little bit north of the 401, you will drive by in consecutive order a Muslim mosque, a Hindu temple, a Jewish temple. What am I missing? Oh, and a Buddhist temple? Are they called temples? I don't know. The place where all these guys worship. And in between, there are six churches within a space of about three blocks. It's much more mixed together, and we can't quite tell who's who. And the belief systems are getting mushed together. It's very different now. The last season that came to a close started with hope and optimism. The season we're in now is, I hope we've got the new technology to enable us to keep going forward. Basically, our world now is, like, fingers crossed, technology is going to take care of global warming, if that's true. Either one, I don't care, it's fine. Overpopulation, food supplies, polluted water, polluted environment, diseases that nobody can figure out what they even are, let alone get them cured. It's just not a positive ending to this whole season we've been in. And the church is the same kind of thing. The general Christian church, at the end of this season of 40-plus years that we've gone through, is basically stagnant and irrelevant. When it started, Christians sat on the board of the review system board that reviewed all of the movies. Christians sat on that. And then we decided, oh, we shouldn't have anything to do with that, and backed away, and now you know what we got. I went to a movie the last time about 15 years ago. I so appreciated what you talked about last night when you said, what's on the screen? I can go to any movie I want. I just don't want all that junk there when I'm trying to hook up with God. Going to movies is not a sin. Going to God's just more fun. And I can hook up with Him better when I don't have all that stuff. But we step back. The church stepped back. We don't want to get involved in what's going on in our schools. So we had an incident in our schools. We have a number of teachers in our church. We had an incident in one of our schools where they allowed Muslims to have prayer in the school because they didn't want them walking down to the mosque, but said, you can't have a Christian prayer group. I'm going, time out. I mean, if you want to take it all out, okay. We're still contending over that in our city. We've stepped back. And the church has essentially, at the end of the season that we walked in, become irrelevant to most people. But I grew up where everybody knew all the Bible stories. I have to explain Bible stories when I'm preaching now, because people that are coming in don't know David and Goliath. Who's that? Never heard of him. Is he in the latest action movie? I don't remember. Goliath guy. They don't know. But we started with a very Christian culture. But there's been lots of good things, too. This last season started with the Jesus people. I came to, walk with God in the Jesus movement. I went to Chuck Smith's original church. I went to baptisms. I met and got to hang out some with Lonnie Frisbee, one of the main starters of that, and some of the people that he worked with. I got to do that. And it was the coolest thing in the world. All of your band is here because of the Jesus movement, because guitars were illegal, sinful things in the church before the Jesus movement. Oh, I thought I'd get a little more than that, because, like, man, do you want the organ back? Dude, wow. My favorite thing about the organ is that Simpsons one where Bart sticks in a Gata De Vida and the woman's playing and they go crazy. That's my favorite organ church thing in history. I have a few issues with early church, can you tell? But we started out with that. It was a thing where there was an ingathering, and as we come to the close, those of us who are still passionate with God are now called to be fathers of what this next generation, what this next season is going to do. There's a reason why I'm here. Most of my Christian peers are boring. Yours? I mean, they go to church all this time and they're caught up in debt. They're caught up in just going through the motions, hearing from God. I mean, most of the friends that I started out with pursuing God with were part of the leadership that kicked me out of the first church I was in because I was talking about Holy Spirit. God showed up in my Sunday school class and they didn't like it. Boring. Just doing church. Man, if you're just doing church, go home. Go watch a soccer game or something else because doing church is terrible. Why would you come to church to have somebody tell you, if you don't align yourself with Jesus, you're going to hell? Man, you can get guilt 100 other ways without choosing to come to a place and saying, you're just messing up. But most of my generation is missing it. I want to hang around, you know, people like Solomon's Porch. Mary and I are the only people over 45 in my church. Because most of the people who came through the previous season of about 40 years or so have dropped out. I'm so glad for people like you. This is like such a breath of fresh air. Televangelists weren't always terrible. In the last season, I remember Oral Roberts being on TV. I know two people who reach out and touch the TV set right now who are healed because of Oral Roberts being on TV. I know two of them personally. It wasn't always some of the unusual things that we see today. There wasn't like all of the discrediting that's happened and all of the focus on money. It started out to be, here's a new avenue. Here's a new technology that can bring the kingdom to people. That's cool. That was part of this last thing that happened. The church has done some fun things. Stadium evangelism really became of age in the last time. Billy Graham and all of these big activities. Charismatic renewal, including Catholics. My wife got saved. She grew up Catholic. She got saved in a charismatic renewal. Got filled with the Holy Spirit in charismatic renewal. And it's like, it's bigger than labels. It's about God. The Vineyard came out and John Wimard and the idea that all of us could participate in gifts. What a cool thing. You don't have to wait for the super specialist. You all can be like Sean. Well, maybe not quite like Sean. But you can have that passion and zeal like anyone else. You don't have to wait for the special person to come. You don't have to come have me prophesy to you. I've had several of your ministry team prophesy with me. Man, they get good words. You do not need me here. I'll give them a clue, say, this might help you a little bit. Let's try that. That was good. Way to go. Come on. Get in there and fight. That's awesome. Give it some more. Prophesy some more. There are no superstars. There's a superstar. Yeah. We're at a hinge time in history, and the stakes for 7 billion people have never been larger. The prophets are saying, we're in a transition time. We're just concluding it now. I don't know if you've noticed, but there have been bizarre and very strange, untimely deaths in the last 4 years. People have died that shouldn't have died of unusual things. People in places of prominence. Some of the old guard of the church have gone on to their reward. A number of the people that are predominantly famous, influenced us growing up, and influenced the whole life of the church are now in heaven. There have been incredible challenges for the church over the last 4 years, the church. finances have dropped way off. Do you know what? In North America, the average tithing percentage in a church now is 1.7%. And we'll go into debt, not we, our church doesn't do debt. I don't do debt, period. I have a little thing in my church that gets people out of debt. They happen to have an account, a pastor who used to be an accountant, so I know a thing or two about numbers to get people out of debt. But in North America, not only is the average person tithing 1.7%, most churches go into debt millions of dollars to build a fancy building. We got sucked into the economy of the world doing the same exact thing. Christians owe just as much as non-Christians in North America. God forgive us. Which means some of them are really in trouble because most of the Christians that I know aren't in debt, so somebody's like double the amount on the other end. The average amount of debt individually in Canada now is $55,000 Canadian, which now is about equal to U.S. dollars. That's the average debt excluding mortgage. The only thing we got going for us is we haven't had a crash yet. The churches are really challenged. Evangelism, as we've always known it, doesn't work. People don't respond to, here's a tract, says you're going to hell and I'm going to heaven. I got the good news, you got the bad news. Don't you want to join? Doesn't work. Yeah, that's good news. Okay, get away from me. And even the participation. I love the passion in this house. I love the passion in this house. Give yourself a round of applause. And there's been really weird spiritual warfare. I've been around spiritual warfare a while. I've been around intercession. And the stuff we used to do that worked all the time doesn't work very well anymore. And I don't know why. It's just transitions. It's different. We're moving from one way of doing things and understanding things to something else new. And we've got to be aware, yes, the times and the seasons. Jesus said we know the times and the seasons, not just for his ultimate return to earth, but as we walk along in this stuff, and we're in a transition. Now, transitions are fuzzy. January 1st, 2012 does not mean everything changes. There was no Vineyard movement right when the first Jesus movement came in. There's a lot of stuff in between. So it's not like we're going to wake up and go, everything's new, we're starting all over, we got all this fun stuff to do. No, transitions are sloppy. Transitions aren't the same for people. And transitions aren't the same around the world. What you're going to experience here is going to be different than what we're going to experience in Toronto. But we need to be prepared for and engage in a mindset that says we are transitioning. We cannot do any longer business as usual. If you want to just show up on Sunday, stay home. If you want to engage with God and Holy Spirit in changing a city, then be here. Wow, it got quiet. Well, I'll go find something else to talk about. I want to look, because we're in 2011, I want to talk just for a few minutes about a couple of verses that have 11 in them. Now, it's not necessarily that I'm really good at that, but did you hear Sean? He goes, ooh, because the prophetic people always do this thing. They're able to read what God is saying at all this stuff. And normally, I'm terrible at that. But I said, God, this is so pivotal. I want you to give me something about what's going on in 2011 that tells me and can communicate to my church and can communicate to the people that I interact with that there is a pivotal time change. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke at the church of the man who oversees all of the interconnectedness of churches in the Greater Toronto Area. 1/6 of Canada lives in the Greater Toronto Area. So whatever the church is doing in Toronto and the Toronto Area is probably going to influence the entire nation. I spoke in his church about transitions. because it's just that time. John 11:11. This is a story of Lazarus. You all know that because you've all read the book a bunch of times. If not, read about Lazarus in John 11 because it's way cool. But 11:11 says this, after he, that is Jesus, said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. I understand the context. What I'm sharing with you is what I believe God is saying out of these verses that can be relevant for us in this time of transition. The church is not dead. Come on, the church is not dead. However, a fair chunk of it is still asleep in the tomb. Jesus said, I'm going to wake up Lazarus who's asleep. And Jesus is coming to people and saying, church, wake up. Thank you. Church, wake up. There's so much more that we can do than just come and sit for 2 hours, have a nice meal, and go home and do whatever it is you do in Hong Kong. Like, there's no grass to cut and all that kind of stuff. Dogs to walk. Yes, you can go to my wife's Facebook and see this dog that's about that big. It's our new dog, Zoe. Whatever it is that people do now, church is different. The church has been asleep. We have not influenced our environment. Most of us, our neighbors don't know that we're believers. It's true. We're still figuring out how to get hooked up with God and hear his voice and be prepared to step into the things God has. But we have an influenced environment yet. And Jesus is coming to the church and saying, I'm going to go wake up this church that's fallen asleep. Now, y'all are ahead of the program here. There's some life here. Yeah. But he's saying in all kinds of ways, in different ways, wake up. Jesus is making house calls. It isn't just sitting, going through the motion anymore. And I hope that we catch an excitement, because when Jesus says, come out of the tomb, there's whole new life. And I believe this verse is encouraging us in this time of transitioning into a new season, that we're to awaken to new possibilities and unprecedented opportunity. Because new always starts out with optimism, hope. Where do we go from here? What's going to happen? I mean, there's such an expectancy here. What can SP be like? What are we going to do? How can we have more people come? How can we like make this disco wall? Disco, by the way, was from the last season. I quit listening to radio entirely in 1975. I didn't listen to that much of it anyway, and when it was FM entirely after that. It's time to awaken to new possibilities, because Jesus is saying, church, wake up. Luke 11:1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. These guys had grown up in temple. They know how to do prayers. They were good at it. They were good Jewish people. We've all grown up in church, and we all know how to say good church prayers. I'm so impressed with your offering prayer that you did. We finally cut out offering prayer because it was too traumatizing for people. You know why? Because they were afraid they couldn't pray good enough. How weird is that? If you're talking to God, it's good. But we've got this showman mentality of, praise most holy, dearest Father, who art in heaven, holy God, come. I mean, come on, get real. The guys who know how to do church are looking at Jesus and going, wow, when you pray, it happens different. What if we prayed differently? There's nothing wrong with help God prayers. I pray them too. You know what help God prayers are, right? Help, it ain't working. Please fix my family, fix me. You know, those are okay. The little babies that are here, they do that all the time. Fix me, feed me, clean me. That's pretty much it. But by and large, much of the church has had help me prayers as the sum total of their prayer. And then they heard Jesus pray and they go, wow, you pray different. When you pray, you're connecting with somebody. When you pray, things happen. What if we started considering praying differently? You remember, on earth as it is in heaven? What if we started praying to say, instead of just dumping our checkout list with God, say, please give me this, take care of this, you know, all this kind of stuff. What if we said, what are you doing? What if that was the start? What are you doing? Hey, God, what would really, like, make you happy today? There's a prayer and a question to ask God. You'll get a different answer. Your prayer life will get different if you do that. What would make you happy? God, what do you want to do in me today? God, how do you want to love me today? What do you like about me? What can I do to bless my boss today? What if we started the way Jesus did, by starting in heaven, saying, what's going on up here? And then now, how can I make that happen here? Let's pray differently in this new season than what we were taught in church, or in my case, what I've been praying for a long time, because nobody told me you could pray that way. I couldn't believe it. About 20 years ago, I'm reading along, boom, 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 and Jesus says, on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I'm just like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the King. On earth as it is in heaven. Are you kidding me? I always started on earth about what I wanted. And he says, in heaven, now make it happen down here. Like with Sam last night, contending for healing. When heaven happens down here, now that's prayer life. That's fun. Give me more, Jesus gets old. Fix my spouse. Give me a spouse. You know, it's like we pray for a spouse and then we go, please fix them. God, I want to get married. Oh, God, now I don't want to be married. Give me a business job way far away. I mean, it's like we're so weird. But that happens when all we end up doing is asking for things. But when we start to give things away, when we start to ask heaven to come down and change the environment of our workplace, when our apartment complex or whatever that where you're living is, man, there's some really negative stuff going on here. Heaven, come down and displace what isn't of heaven here where I live. My school's not working right. There's some teachers that are really not getting along. God, let unity of heaven come into my teaching environment. That'd be fun. What if we, in this next season, prayed different? You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Why don't we pray differently, and we will get a different result? Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. There is coming for us in this next season a revisiting of what personal and corporate faith looks like. We've often had faith as being, please God, come and keep us safe. Keep me saved until Jesus comes back. Now, I want to live in such a way as that, oh, Jesus is coming back. That's great. You know, but, you know, like Paul said, I want to go be with Jesus, but it's better for me to be here. I'm excited about being here because there's stuff to do. This is where all the action is. This is the only time for the rest of history where you get to use faith. Man, you need no faith in heaven. You're standing with God. There's no enemy attacking you. You don't need any of that stuff. We get to use that here. And we need to rethink in this next season what faith really is. I can't remember who said this, so I don't know who to attribute it to. But fear is simply faith in something other than God's word. We have more confidence that we're not going to do well at work than we have confidence in God to help us do well. We have more confidence that we'll probably mess it up when we try to share Jesus with someone than the certainty that God will give us the words and his presence will come. That's all fear is we just believe more in our ability to not get it done than God's ability to get it done. Faith is more than just wishing. Oh, I really wish it would happen, or hoping. Faith is more than proper theology. Pharisees had all the understanding of all the books, and you know how well they did. Because faith is more than just having proper theology. Most of the churches, at least in North America, have the essential proper theology. We read the Apostles' Creed. They all believe that. But it's just words. Faith is more than that. Faith is more than just trying to believe. I'm really, really trying. What does that even look like? What that really means is, yeah, I think God's probably right, but I don't know how to get there, so I'm somewhere in the middle, and whatever works, that's okay. And, you know, it's just like, ends up being whatever. Faith is hearing God's rhema word and then acting on it. Last night, you experienced faith. They called out words of knowledge. A couple of them were for Sam about healing. A couple of them were Sam. Sam got up, stood up, said, it's going to be... By the way, I had such a good time last night. You invited me up here, and I'm so honored and pleased to do that. You talk too fast. I got the word about the hip thing, and by the time you did it, you'd already had them getting up, and they were out there. I got the word about the esophageal thing and the acid reflux thing. You already had them standing up. You're like, you talk too fast. I talk, you know, at 33 and a third. Guy talks at 78. Like, you know, it's like, okay, after the second one, I'm just going to pray for people and have a good time. And wasn't that an awesome party last night? Whew, that was fun. But faith says, this is what God is saying right now. That's what rhema word is. And then acting on it. Sam heard the word. He said, stand up if your ankle hurts. Boom, he's up. He acted on it and he got healed. Faith is not just about hearing stuff. It's about doing something with what we've heard. And in this new season, the difference between people who sit and hear stuff and the people that go do stuff is going to be distinctly clear. One will be called the church, the other will be called something else. Hebrews 11:11, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age. Don't you like all these 11s? Isn't that clever of how I did that? Even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who made the promise. Faith acknowledges facts. Faith is not weird to just say, you know, this cold I don't have, when you have a cold. This pain in my ankle or my back that I don't have. That's weird. Faith says, yep, it's there. Abraham goes, 90 years old, or 100, or however old he was, 90, I think. From 90 to 100, he goes, I'm too old to have a kid. No question about it. Biologically, medicinally, all that stuff, I'm too old. That's a fact. But God said, I'm going to have a kid. Faith acknowledges facts, but faith understands that God's truth is superior to facts. God's truth always trumps facts when we apply action to it. We go, yeah, I believe God can do anything. Every Christian believes God is omnipotent. The issue is, will he be omnipotent for me? Will he come and do it for me? Faith is believing the truth of God always is superior to the facts, the emotions, and the experiences of life. And faith is changing in this new season. We can't get by on quoting proper theology. John 20:11. You know, before I go there, one other thing. With faith, we see issues different, and we say, how can we apply this? About 2 years ago, I just felt like, you know, I don't know enough people who don't know Jesus. That's an affliction that pastors have to contend with. And I go, well, you know, most of my life I wasn't a vocational pastor. I worked in the marketplace anyway. And I prophesied in the marketplace, prayed for healing in the marketplace, and shared Jesus with people in the marketplace. Why am I so now stuck? So I joined this group in North York Healing Rooms, that's only open. It's not open to church people. They don't announce it in church. Only unsaved people come. So I get to pray with people. I go, this is fun, but I'm only doing it once a month. So then I joined another group that's related to this healing group that goes to New Age fairs and expos. Now that's fun. It's just the coolest thing. We go and we have this booth that's called Open Sky Cafe. On the menu of the cafe is dream interpretation, healing touch, and what's the New Age word for it? I forget. Spiritual readings. Thank you. Which is just basically God tells you what their dreams are, God heals them, and you get to prophesy to them. It's the coolest thing. You go into this place, and here's all these people who are totally open to the spirit realm. Man, you don't have to preach that, God is a spirit, he still interacts, angels show up. You don't have to do any of that with New Age people. They're going, we're in here, that's why we came to the conference. We have this booth, and they line up to come in and give prophetic words, and they don't know Jesus. It's the coolest thing. You don't have to go chasing them down, you don't have to talk them into it. They sit down, they go, well, we'd just like to get, ask God what he would like to say to you. And they go, okay. And God comes. I've led more people to Jesus in the last 2 years than I have in the last 10 before when I was a pastor. They just walk in and do that. It's the coolest thing. And people get healed. Of the three fairs that I've been involved in, 133 people have accepted Jesus and 72 people have gotten healed. And overall, we prophesied and ministered to 400 people who never heard about Jesus. One woman I prayed for, got a word of knowledge about it, and she's just going, you can see she was going, oh my gosh, she's getting all worried about it. And I said, God, God's made your character like this, and he understands that this is what you do, and you've had this thing happen to her. And she goes, gets done, and she looks at me, and she goes, man, that was really creepy, but in a good way. So fun. And then she came to the follow-up group, because we have a follow-up group where people who encounter God can find out more about this thing, because whoa, this is a real deal. She comes to this next thing, and she goes, I got to tell you, you prayed for me to get healed. I didn't remember the healing part. I remember the word of knowledge and the creepy part, but I didn't remember that. She said, I've had internal difficulties with my stomach and all the female organs and everything, and an eating disorder for 10 years. I've been to everybody. I've been to every New Age person that could possibly go to. I've been to doctors. I was never well for more than 2 weeks. It's now been 2 months, and nothing's wrong. The last meeting I went to has been about a year and a half, and she said, I just got to tell you, I'm still well. This God thing is really cool. Yay, God. Give him a round of applause. We've got to see the issues that are in front of us and go to the people who, need it. You all don't need that, honestly. I'm honored and blessed to be able to prophesy to you guys. You have such an open heart. So easy. So much easier than many churches that I go to. So open. But honest and truly, you don't really need it. It's the guys on the other side of this plastic that need it. Why is that funny? Glass. Whatever. Sheesh. Every legalistic spirit in Jesus' name will not manifest while I'm up here. Holy cow. John 20:11. Interesting that 2011 is in 2011. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. She wept. As she wept, she bent over and looked in the tomb. Christians have primarily been living, looking in a tomb, expecting dead religion. There's a reason why most of your church friends who no longer go to church do not want to come with you to church, because the church has been looking in the tomb. There's nothing alive. We go, church is boring. Church is not engaging. Church is irrelevant to my life. And by and large, the church has been living, looking back in the tomb. I just love this cross because there ain't no Jesus on it. That just drives me nuts when I see that. Okay, if you have one in your house, please don't be offended. But it drives me nuts because Jesus checked out of that place a long time ago. I don't even get real excited about, you know, those pictures where Jesus rises up in the clouds and he's got this long flowing beard and a gown and everything. He's like that and all that. Because he ain't there either. He's ruling the universe at God's right hand. That's who I'm interacting with. But most of the church is looking back in a tomb going, well, we put him there. Can't really do very much. And probably all of us, in one way or another, have that. It's that place of needing to get healed from, I prayed and it didn't happen. I asked God to save my family. I asked God to give me a spouse. I asked God to get rid of my spouse. I asked God, you know, whatever that you're asking for, to try to get to happen. And we've kind of got, well, God didn't really answer my prayer. I got to go get, you know, pastor to pray for it. Or I got to go get the guest speaker to pray for it. Because my God's kind of still like dead in the tomb. And we've all got those places. And I encourage you in this season to contend for complete deliverance of the tomb mentality. That's what 2011 is all about. Switching us from thinking, my God didn't show up for me, to this dynamic interaction with God. Get healed from those people who have left, friends that have gone behind. One of the most challenging things for me is I was part of the Father's Blessing. Our church hosted huge meetings in from 1995 till about 1999 when we kind of cut back. You think your church has growing pains? We went from a church of two little churches, total of about 200 people in total, to hosting meetings 5 nights a week of 2,000 people. Think you have some administrative headaches? It would take you to be there to help us. You know, somebody who's gifted like you are, Monica, to do that. It was just nuts. And it was the coolest time I'd ever experienced. What we did last night, that was like all the time. You know, you were there for part of it. You spoke at this stuff. He'd get up there and preach, and then we'd go have a party for 3 hours and then go out to, like, Chinese food at 1:30 in the morning. I was a zombie driving to work. But it was the coolest zombie-ness I've ever known. Is that a word, zombie-ness? But it can be now. Awesome because we encountered God. He wasn't dead. He was alive. I couldn't get enough. Some of the most significant memories. But what grieves me, and I've had to work through this in this last year or two, is that most of the people that I walked through this with, people in my small group, people that co-led small groups, were on worship teams with me, that prayed and saw God do significant healings. Am I doing okay on time? Can I tell you one healing that we had in our small group? I didn't pray for him. I didn't have enough faith. But I had a guy in our small group who was just, you know, a burning bush faith for healing. Guy comes into our small group, and he was there periodically, this other person. Well, he came and he announced to the small group, I'm leaving my wife, and I'm moving back east, and this is going to be my last meeting. My last day at work is Friday. Well, welcome to the home group. Thank you for inspiring us all. So, you know, we pray some kind of, you know, like token little God blessing on him. And, you know, you know how wimpy those prayers are. You know when your prayers just come out and they like fall on the ground and you go, boy, that was a waste of time. Well, that was one of them. But anyway, we prayed that. Next week he comes back and he's got this big cast on his arm. And we go, man, what are you doing here? You were going to move. He says, my last day at work, he worked as a pipe fitter. Something happened, a thing broke, and a bunch of pipe rolled down onto his arm, fractured it in 4 places, and then the hot water that was in it poured over his skin, and he had second-degree burns from the tip of his fingers to his elbow. So he's back. He's telling, you know, I'm laying like this on the couch and all this kind of stuff. And so, bless his heart, this one of the guys in this small group steps up and says, you know, God can heal you. you know, full of faith small group leader. The dude's leaving his wife, and he's only here because he wants something to happen. You know, give me a break. Sorry, that's where I was. God's helping me. I'd pray different now. I really would. But he gathers the guys around, says, come on, let's pray. Guy puts his arm out. In about 15 seconds, you can see his fingers vibrating. In about 30 seconds, his whole arm is vibrating. He says, I don't know what the heck is going on with my arm. Now, he's been to the meetings. He's seen all that stuff. But when it's live, it's just different. And I just want to put this in. When God shows up live for you, it's way more fun than watching Sean up on the platform praying for people and calling out. When you call out, it's way more fun. It's fun to watch someone get a prophetic word, and we like doing that. But when you get it, whole other level of fun. Go get some stuff. Go get some kingdom stuff. So his arm's just like vibrating and stuff, and go, this is great. And, you know, everybody's all excited, and, you know, we don't know what's going on. Goes home, sleeps on the couch, wakes up in the morning, and he starts rubbing his eyes. And his wife comes in and goes, what are you doing? He's going, I'm rubbing my... And he realized he was moving his hand, and there was no pain. He goes, okay, that's weird. So he cuts the cast off and goes, there's no pain. And then his wife starts screaming. She goes, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. New skin. Goes to the doctor. They take another x-ray. The nurse freaks out. You can't take your cast off? You know, you got like four fractures or something like that. Goes to the doctor. They take the x-ray, right? Is that what they do? X-ray. I'm so medical, it's just painful. Take an x-ray. They put the x-ray up, the before and the after, and the doctor, he's a wonderful Indian gentleman. I got to meet him, and he's going, how can this be? How can this be? This cannot be. How can this be? I mean, he's like going and going. Because the x-ray before showed four fractures, and the thing was misplaced and everything. The new x-ray showed no fracture. Because normally when you fracture, you can still see a remnant of it. There was no lines. Now, come on, that's kind of fun, huh? It is time to start looking with expectation of life instead of in the tomb for death. That's what this new season's about. That's what's going to bring people into the church community back to the New Age. The leader of this group for New Age went to an international evangelism event, took the New Age track, and speaker after speaker said, the biggest problem with having New Age people accept Jesus is that they cannot come to church. Because they encountered God in an expo or something, they go into church and they no longer encounter God. I changed my church service. We have corporate prophecy during the service at least once a month. We have healing in the service once a month. We have soaking times in the service once a month. If we can't encounter God in church, what's wrong with us? I was convicted. Here's these people who want to come and meet God, and they can't go to a church and find God. They have to go to an expo with somebody sitting in a booth and going, hey, you know. They should be able to come here and get into this community and get healed and well and connected and instructed and trained and equipped, because they know hundreds of people who don't know Jesus. It is time in this new season to look with the expectation that the tomb's empty. John 20:12. Two angels sat in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. God is not any longer where we traditionally expect him to be. You can't find God in most churches. It was said in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was in the Ark of the Covenant. The people got so corrupt, the Holy Spirit got up, left, went to the door place, sat there for a while, and then checked out, and nobody noticed he was gone. Most churches, a Holy Spirit is an intrusion. Another church I was in for a while till they decided fellowship with me wasn't so good. I had a Sunday school class where Holy Spirit showed up every week. We taught about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Whatever gift we taught, God did it. Until a demonized person came. Didn't work so well in the Sunday school class. First time I'd ever heard a different voice come out of a person. Young lady about like most of your age, sitting there, got the lotus position during worship in Sunday school class, go to put my hand on her head, looks up at me, and this male voice says to me, "Get your hands off our person." I'm going, "You know, God, I'm really not ready for this." I knew it was true. I'd read it in the book. But boy, when it happens to you, it's different. I went home, read the New Testament, every passage on deliverance I could get. The guy I was teaching it with, we read about this thing. She came back next week, and she got delivered. She walked into the sanctuary. She's bawling her eyes out at the worship songs about how the love of Jesus and how much God cared for her. And she was told by the church I was going. I mean, her father was a warlock. Her mother was a witch. She had a name that was, you know, occultic. She changed it back to Gail. How cool is that? And the church said, "You can't be here because we don't know what to do with you." And they told me, "You can't be here because you caused all this." Heaven was on her face. The church isn't ready now. God isn't where we've gone to look before. Because see, I love what you say. Cool building. This isn't about God. This is the church. You take church with you. When you walk into your office tomorrow morning for work, you're going to church. Let's be more enthusiastic. I'll give you another shot. When you walk into your office tomorrow morning, when you go to work, you're going to church. Your congregation, your small group, is the people in your work team or the children in your classroom. If you don't go to a place where you go to work, if you're a stay-at-home mom or something, your church is where all the kids get together and play. It's the mom's group. I mean, wherever you go tomorrow morning, you have church. This is just where we come and get equipped and excited and built up and trained to go, be able to go do the real stuff. Just a thought. Realignment of our vision is seeing what God is doing and seeing where God is doing it. And then in this next season, more aware of angelic activity. Because the other team's sure getting excited about it. The rise of occultic activity, that shouldn't scare us. That ought to be good news, because now we don't have to teach a bunch of people that the spirit world is real. We're way ahead now. You know, you go to most churches, I got to preach like a 5-part sermon on God is real, he interacts with us today, he talks to us today, and all this kind of stuff. You go to a New Age person, they go, "God wants to talk to you." Cool, what's he got to say? Somebody's really hungry. Somebody's really interested. And there's going to be a rise of angelic activity. We can't get into Saudi Arabia. That's okay. I know somebody who can. He'll show up in dreams. Most people, from what I understand, are getting converted to Christianity in places like Afghanistan because God visits them. Is anybody a little bit jealous? Me too. My friends too. The people that live next to me, come and visit them. We live in a townhome. Right next to us, there's an older couple. You know, we reached out to them, connected with them, and the husband was getting kind of infirmed. He's getting older, and you know, we prayed with him a couple times. And the wife came over one night, knocked on the door, said, "Could you just come over? Because my husband passed away." And I know that you guys know God. Didn't say we're a Christian or anything. She says, "I know you know God." I don't even remember ever saying God to her once. But I did pick him up when he fell down the stairs. People are hungry for just that human touch of kindness. And when we do it in the name of the Lord, they will respond. God is not in the traditional places. Look, you don't need to bring all your friends to church initially. Get them saved wherever they're at. Connect them with Jesus. I think it was Bill Johnson said, we owe people an encounter with God. Give up this witnessing theological discussion, win the argument. That doesn't get people into heaven. That doesn't get people into church. Encounters with God get them into church. And that's what God is doing in this new time. He says, Mary goes, "Where's Jesus? They've taken him away. That's actually the next verse. But a realignment of vision, seeing what God is doing, seeing angels, and the intensification of spiritual warfare. Look, if God's going to start showing up on the scene, if you're going to go out and invade the enemy's territory, he's going to get pissed off. Can I say that, church? God, I'm really sorry if I offended somebody. I can pray for you afterwards, and I think it'll help. He's mad because he's losing stuff because the church is no longer staying in their nice little place, not influencing the environment. This church is an influencer of environment where you go. Why? Because you carry Holy Spirit. Doesn't Romans 8:11 say, the same God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, lives in you. How much more do you need? Really? Man, you got the whole package. We're praying last night, more God. That's actually a misnomer of a prayer. You can't get more than God in you. What more really means when we pray, God, give me more, what God interprets that as, God, give me more understanding of what you put in me because you've given me everything necessary for godliness and life. You put your Spirit in me. You've identified me as yours. You've given me an anointing. You've commissioned me to go out and speak the gospel. The good news that Jesus will set you free from whatever you're dealing with and bring you into an entire new lifestyle. That's what we're praying when we say more. Because we've already got all the stuff. Stop trying to get it. You've got it. Start trying to figure out now what to do with it. John 20:13. The angel said, woman, why are you crying? Hallelujah! It's not a season anymore to weep about what happened in the transition. I'm sorry I've lost my friends that walked away from the Lord because they aren't excited about renewal anymore. I'm sorry they walked away from not hearing about God's coming and prophesying and sharing the good news and healing. I'm sorry. I really am. And I've grieved over it, but it's not time to cry anymore. The angels are saying to us in whatever area we're contending with, why are you crying? Because it's a new day. What is that thing? Sean talked about last night. He said, there's that thing you need to let go of and get healed of. Put your hand on your heart. Father, in Jesus' name, every one of our hearts, that place where we've been grieving, we feel like we've lost someone, we've lost a relationship, we've been disappointed, whatever thing is holding us back, I thank you for your healing touch now, that we freely release it to you, that we are not going to be a people of weeping, because joy comes in the morning, and it's a new morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 2011, we wrap up the transition to a new season. Go ahead, grieve the loss. Then get healed. Let's move on. Fix our eyes ahead. This is not a time to be Lot's wife. It is not better in the old days. Church is not more fun back then. The best is yet to come. This is not a time to be the children of Israel in the wilderness. Egypt is a drag. Even if you're finding it tough going right now, I don't know how to prophesy. I'm scared to death. What if I put my hand on somebody and they don't get healed? Well, just do it again. Practice makes perfect. Several people have said, well, how did you learn how to prophesy that way? Well, do it a couple thousand times and you're going to get better. I promise you. We're so weird. It's like, how many of you play a musical instrument? Quite a number of you. When you first picked up the guitar, Nate, were you like as awesome as you are now? When you played the keyboard, could you do that when you first played? No. We have to practice and learn how to do it. But for some reason, we think, oh, spiritual gifts come fully mature. So if I can't stick out my hand and, you know, raise the dead, then I'm going to quit because it's not going to count. Get real. Fix our eyes forward. Transition is for the purpose of moving us from where we were into where we're going. And we need to really look ahead to say, maybe you prayed 100 times and no one's got healed. Well, pray again, because it's coming. Most healing, people who pray for healing consistently will tell you, they prayed for, what did you say, got colds and got pneumonia or something like that? I mean, it just gets worse. John Wimber talks about when he prayed for somebody and they died. And people go, don't pray for me. I don't have a cold. We got to learn how to do this stuff, but look ahead to where you're going. That passion in your heart, that fire that says, this is what I was made to do. Go do that. Fix your eyes ahead. No Lot's wives here, and we ain't not going back to Egypt. 2012 is to renew our vision for the kingdom, seeing what God is doing and where he's doing it. Church buildings are not a place to collect in some kind of privacy and security. Church buildings become the equipping and the staging grounds for incursions and strategic activity in the marketplace. Can I borrow one of your things? That's good preaching, Rob. That's good. Thank you. Church buildings are coming to be the equipping and staging grounds for incursions and strategic activities in the marketplace, the schools, and the streets. That's what we're designed to do here, is not to go, wow, I feel safe for a few minutes before I go back up and get beat up in the world. No, it's to learn how to do that, get in a community, get really connected, know that we're secure, train on how to do this stuff, to go out that door, because church starts the second you walk out that door. You walk down those things and out that door, that's when church starts. We come here to get equipped. Yeah. And 2013 is the beginning of the end of self-focused Christianity. Someday, the church is going to get Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom, and everything else will be added. You know what the everything was in the context? Money, clothes, homes, all the stuff that we just get so stressed about. He says, seek that first. Let's go after the kingdom and all the stuff that the world is like so got us cut up in, and we're going to mortgage to death and everything else. He says, you go for the kingdom first, I'll take care of the rest of it. The beginning of the end of self-focused Christianity is in 2013. It won't be the end of it, but there are going to be companies of people who will live so radically different to say, it doesn't matter what my home looks like. Now, please, I want to be honest. All things being equal, money, no money, I'd rather have money. And I've been blessed most of my life to have money. I know how to tithe and super tithe. Right now I give 15% minimum gross to my church. That's not how much I give, but I give that. I don't tell you to brag, but just to say, I know that stuff works. You cannot outgive God. It may take you a while to build up a faith and a credit, but you will not be able to outgive God. And if you seek him first, he'll take care of the rest of the stuff. When we bought our townhome, we were in a bidding war. We had the lowest bid. They gave it to us. They didn't know why, but they'd want to save us some money. For real, who accepts the low bid? That's weird, unless you're in the kingdom. Then it's normal because of my stuff. I got other things to do with this money. We at that time happened to be having a faith promise drive. Faith promise, not because we wanted money, we're giving it away to the missions. Faith promise so we could build our faith to know God would take care of us. Is that Peter? Bless your heart. Peter used to be in our church. Eugene Chun had this faith promise that he's followed through with. He's now set up a foundation, nonprofit foundation, because he's written software to go in to help teachers function well, and they're starting to buy it. And he goes into these school boards and says, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm not trying to make any money off this. Because they say, you're charging too little. You should be charging like hundreds of thousands of dollars because all the other bids are really expensive. And his is low. He goes, I'm not trying to make any money. And all the profits after just, you know, my working expenses are going to go to build orphanages. They go, this is weird. He's been at it now for 3 years. And no one to this point, he's just starting to sell and place it. No one to this point was willing to buy it because they thought he was a fake. You can't be charging that low of a money. It's the end of self-focused ministry, self-focused Christianity. It's like, can I pray for you? No, I know you want to pray for me, but I really want to pray for you. It's like going out to dinner with you guys. I haven't been able to buy anything yet. When do I get to bless somebody? I'm going to pay for somebody something before this trip is over. I'm committed to it because I want to be able to bless too. And God is calling us to be people that are selfless, to be able to do that, to set up a foundation that could earn someone hundreds of thousands of dollars, but we'll build orphanages instead. That's where God is taking us, because that will make us so incredibly distinctive to the world that they will go, wow. I'm so excited, because there is a component of the church where traditional, self-focused, disconnected from God Christianity becomes more and more irrelevant to the world. And the people that are connected with their God, know their God, can express the love of the God, can bring the presence of God in encounters to people, are going to become entirely relevant. The gap that Sean talks about is going to be distinctly wide. You go to a church and sit for 2 hours, people aren't even going to think about it. You come and bring church to them, and it'll change the world. Lifestyle, New Testament Christianity is our destination. Solomon's Porch, you are uniquely positioned to be that kind of Christian community. Everybody stand up. Put your hands out in a posture of receiving. I bless you as you take your place in the forefront of those God followers who will influence history in this next season. Perhaps the most pivotal of seasons in the history of the Christian church. I bless you with an irrefutable, undeniable, unquenchable hunger for the presence and the knowledge of God. I release upon you a Holy Spirit directive to be the church. And I speak righteousness, peace, and joy upon you as you do it. So guys, by all means, be holy. By all means, bring encounters. But could we please have some fun while we're doing it? Because joy is a part of the kingdom as well. And I bless you with the certainty that as you seek him, you will find the kingdom, you will bring more into the kingdom, and God will cause your souls to prosper. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you so much. You've been amazing.